There's a very popular phrase short one, but it rings pretty true in the human experience. Very simple, but the phrase is, trust is earned. Trust is earned. There's lots of things that get freely given in the world we live in, but trust is not one of them. In other words, it takes a minute to be able to trust someone. It usually doesn't happen overnight. And honestly, most of us have had moments where maybe we trusted too fast and got burned by it. And so we get to ask the question, why is trust something to be earned? Why is that? Why don't we just blindly believe what someone says? Why don't we just blindly believe the promises that we are given? And the answer, of course, is we live in a broken world, don't we? Where promises are broken all the time, maybe even every day. Even sometimes those who are well-meaning, we can experience unmet expectations and incredible disappointment. And so we know what is in humanity. You can pretend to be one of those people that are like, I just believe the best in humanity. But the truth is, you lock your doors at night for a reason. We know what can be and what is in the heart of humanity. And while trust is earned is something that we communicate, we know deep down a lot of that comes from the broken experiences we've had. I believe that is actually why the issue and the concept of faith is one of the most challenging, the most profoundly difficult experiences in all of humanity. Because it's so outside what is common to the experience of this broken world to believe, to have faith in a world that is broken all the time, where there's constancy of disappointment and unmet expectations. The question is, how could we really walk with faith? The writer of the letter, the book of Hebrews, by the Spirit, gives us a profound and simple definition of what faith is, and it's scary. The writer says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things that are not seen. So assurance of hope, conviction of the things that we can't see or taste or touch. It is a deep leap out in a world that often has not always come through. Faith is the assurance and conviction in what is unseen. Having hope, even in spite of circumstances. Conviction, even if things don't look well. Jesus says, with respect to faith, says in Matthew chapter 18, unless you have faith like a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Is giving us a picture of what it looks like to be able to believe, to trust. What does he mean when he says, unless you have faith like a child, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven? Well, one of the best things about being a dad is to get to throw your children around. And what I mean by that, you're like, that's a little awkward. What I mean by that is when they're little, you can launch them into the heavens. And it's the funnest thing. And to get to experience, you get to throw your kid up, and they're 90% excited and 10% terrified, right? But they keep asking you to do it again and again. Why? Not because it's safe. They ask you to do it again because they know you're going to catch them. They know. My dad's about to launch me into the wind. but he's going to catch me. And even though I'm frightened, I'll do this again because I know my father will catch me, because if he doesn't, mom is gonna be very upset. This is what it means to have faith. Like, I'm gonna step out in this world, and it might be 10% terrifying, but I know there's a father who will catch me. The circumstance might seem unsafe, but there's a father who is there. Trust in a father that we cannot see, and even when the circumstances don't seem to be aligning in the way we wish they would, it's belief. And the problem is that our experiences in this broken world with humanity, along with this voice of the enemy whispering what the scripture says day and night, often creates these seeds of doubts in our heart. And so a regular part of a faith journey is having to deal with places of fear and doubt. We live in a broken world. There is an evil accuser constantly over and in our ear, telling us that God is not trustworthy and he will not come through for you, and humanity has fallen short. And because of that, we find in a faith journey all the time places of wrestle and challenge to believe. The enemy will say, you cannot trust this one that you cannot see. And he's going to let you down. In other words, between the pain of what we have experienced in this life, along with this raging voice of the enemy, there ends up being a place, a real part of the human equation, where we wrestle with believing. The scripture would say unbelief, call it unbelief. It's normal. Truthfully, I don't know that I've been able to sit down with anyone who's had a season of life in the Lord, walking with Jesus. I don't know that I've ever sat down with anyone that has not described moment or times or places of real wrestling with doubts and fears to believe God and trust what he says over our lives. You might even be here this morning really, really wrestling with doubts, really wrestling with fear, really wrestling with what is in front of you. And why not? The very men who followed Jesus, the 12 that followed him his entire ministry while they were with him, eyes on him, hearing his very teachings, they wrestled with doubts and fear in the same way. They were right there. And we get to have these incredible historical accounts of this wrestling, this regular part of what it means to walk by faith, to address those places of doubt and fear that often arise, which is going to bring us to our text this morning in Matthew chapter 14. And I'll just set up the scene very quickly. Jesus has performed one of the greatest miracles that are talked about and taught on and looked at and kind of mind blown. And what he has done is, as he's gone along in his ministry, he's teaching, and thousands upon thousands of people are clamoring to hear this man and see this worker of miracles and watch this one who walks with this incredible authority and yet is so kind and is turning the world upside down with his teaching. So thousands have gathered. And at the conclusion of this teaching, they've come from miles away, their homes are far from them, and they have nothing to eat. And it's time for him to move on. But he, being a good shepherd and a kind king, says, well, it wouldn't be right to not feed these folks. And I kind of think it's amazing. I don't know how long Jesus' sermons were, but there's no food anywhere. So whatever snacks they brought along were gone. And so Jesus says, well, what's here among this 5,000 plus wives and children? And there's five loaves of bread and two fish. And Jesus takes this and multiplies it, feeds the entire crowd, and there's food left over. That's a party. And he's just accomplished this, and he's about to send his disciples away, send the crowds away, and he's gonna send his disciples on to the next place for preaching, communicating. And that's where we come to in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. So he's getting refreshed. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. So the disciples have set out. They can't get anywhere because the wind is whipped up so much. Sea of Galilee is right in the middle of all these mountains. It's wind whipping right off the mountains, and they can't get to the other side. And in the fourth watch of the night, which is effectively 3 to 6 a.m., which is the fun time to trying to be rowing across a sea, in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. Now, just pause real quick. I don't know if you've, we love to go to the beach on vacation. Is there anything that gives you a shudder down your spine more than water in the dark? Like when you think about, like, you go out to the beach and it's like, it's kind of cool. But I don't know if you've ever been there even during a storm. We had a chance to experience that even this past, there's like storms, like water. And I'm like, the last place I would want to be is on the water when the wind is whipping across in the middle of the night. This is frightening. And then they see someone standing on the water. So this is so when the scripture says it's a ghost, it's a ghost. Like, they're freaking out, okay? Just capture the moment. This is a big deal. It's terrifying, truly. I'd be freaked out, and you would too. So Jesus, being kind, immediately spoke to them as they're screaming. I do want to watch this movie in heaven someday. Saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Don't be afraid. Meaning, your circumstances are terrifying, but I'm here and present. This is now the core issue for almost all doubting, for almost all unbelief, is the place of fear. This is the place we're called to show up to. I am afraid. Afraid to believe, afraid to step out, afraid to let go of control, afraid of facing my past, afraid of dealing with and giving my future over to one that I cannot see, afraid. And in this case, the disciples are afraid of the storms, afraid of what they're seeing in front with their own eyes. And so they respond, and Peter, verse 28, answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on water and came to Jesus. Now, just pause. you know how Peter was going to handle this situation. If you've had any opportunity to just read about who Peter was, this is how Peter was going to face his fears. This is what he was going to do. Like, he's going to take his fear head on, not really thinking this fully through. He's just going to jump out there. That's what we get to see with Peter. He's the brash and impulsive one who's going to just try to level up to his fear with brute strength. All right, if it's you, then tell me to come on out there with you. He's not thought this through very well, but he's doing it. I don't know if you've ever been there. Like, I'm just going to will my fears away. Or I'm just going to prove that I can handle this. Or I'm going to muscle up to the challenge or the circumstance. I'm going to knock this out of the park. It's a common response to fear. So he says, okay, if you're not a ghost, you call me to come out. And so Jesus lovingly obliges and says, bring it, brother. So he gets out of the boat, verse 30, but when he saw the wind, he was what? Afraid. He was afraid. It's an experience of fear. And beginning to sink in his fear, cried out, Lord, save me. Steps out, realizes, I'm in this faith journey, but the storms have not stopped. I'm going to be in a faith journey, but the storms, the winds are going to continue to come. And the question is, do I really believe that Jesus can not only handle his own situation standing there on the water, but that he can hold and sustain me too? In other words, can I really trust Jesus with my whole life? That's the question. Can I really do it? Do I really trust this one? And the answer, of course, is all too relatable. When I see I'm not in control, when I see that the wind is swirling around me, when I look at my circumstances and see all of these things in front of me, a very normal question is, I'm not sure if I can trust you. Can I trust this one that I believe and now cannot see? This is what the scripture would call unbelief or doubt. Peter was right there too, asking the same questions. This historical account of what's happening with Jesus and Peter is so insane, and yet it's one of the most relatable stories we'll read, because it's just you and me every day being beckoned to step out on the water. Fresh journey of faith. Inevitably, this week or this month or this year, you will face new circumstances in which you will have to ask the question, do I really trust this king with my whole life? Do I really believe him to carry me out of the boat onto the water? You will face circumstances that come that will constantly cause us to ask this question. Do I believe? Do I trust? I want to have big faith, but I'm not sure about all these things around me, and the winds are swirling and things don't seem right, and the voice of the enemy is blaring. I might feel confused. I might feel disappointed. Maybe the dreams seem to be on hold and fear has come to the surface to help us ask the question, do you believe? And so the question then becomes, what do you do when fear comes knocking at the door? What do you do? What do you do? Do you muscle up? Do you stuff it down? What do you do? Well, I love what Peter does, because it's right here in the text. Because what you do and what he does is you reach out, beginning to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Now there's a prayer. If you want to know the beginning place of wrestling with doubts and fears, this is the beginning place. What an incredible prayer. Fear is rising to the surface. His feet are sinking. Fear is rising. Wind is swirling. And do I believe that you can handle this? So what he gets to say is, "I'm afraid. Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me." Verse 21, Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took a hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Now, here's the question. You're on the water, wind swirling, fear is rising, feet are sinking. And Peter gets to reach out and say, "Save me." And Jesus' question in that moment is, "Oh, little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, there's a couple of things that are happening here with this question. God's pulling to the surface for all of us, for Peter, but for all of us. Number one, do you and I actually believe that God is good and trustworthy no matter what? That's what really is coming to the surface here. The circumstances don't seem great. So do you and I believe that God is good and trustworthy no matter what? Where is your heart on the character of God in believing and trusting? But maybe more pointed, which is, what are the places of fear that would keep you and I from trusting him even today? Meaning, this isn't a shaming question in which God's going like, "Peter, what's wrong with you?" I think there might be a tendency to read here, "Oh, you of little faith, what's wrong with you?" But I don't think that's actually what's happening. Little faith is not a problem. In fact, Jesus' own words are, little faith moves mountains, actually. So little faith is not the issue. The issue is, in little faith, what are the things percolating inside of you that would keep you from trusting and believing? Not what's wrong with you, Peter. He's actually saying, what is in you that would keep you from believing me, trusting me? What is there? What about me? What about your belief in me would keep you from trusting? What is it that's percolating you that would keep you from walking all the way here? Eyes on the circumstances, not on me. What's sitting in here that might be keeping you locked up? Where are your doubts coming from? That's what he's asking. Hear me. Doubt and wrestle and even fear are a part of every faith journey. Faith actually requires us to accept and acknowledge that we are believing in that which is not explicitly seen in the natural world. You understand what we're doing here together is a family of people that are saying, we know we're not it in and of ourselves. We're in need of something greater. And we've looked around the earth, and the earth doesn't seem to have it either. So faith is acknowledging what I'm in desperate need of, I can't see with my eyes, taste with my mouth, touch with my hands, but I'm in need. It requires us to acknowledge there is a side of this thing in life that says, wait, what? Where are you? Are you trustworthy? I acknowledge I can't see you. Can I at least audibly hear you? Fear and doubt are a part of what happens when our finite minds cannot grasp that God is working and doing many things while we face this messy world. Fear actually means I don't know the future. And I've had some past experiences that I don't want to see happen again. So what fear does is it has a way of pulling to the surface these places that are needing to be refreshed by God. Because fear is not the problem. That's a part of being human. But fear that never gets confessed or brought to the surface, that's the problem. Let me say this again. Fear's not the problem. You don't know what tomorrow has for you, do you? You don't. I don't. You don't know what the next month has or the next. You nor I have control of any of those things. So we will have something in us that says, uh-oh. That's going to happen. That's not the problem. The question is, when the uh-oh comes, where do you go? Do you go to you to fix it? And if so, how's that working for you? I've done that. I'm not good. That's the issue here. When the doubts arise, when you're not sure because you're human, where do you run? And can you run to the one who walks on water and tells the wind where to go and what to do? This is the kind of believing we're being invited into. It's not a game, not a cute religion. This is an invitation to believe in and through every mountain and every valley and every dark sea you and I will face. When the fear comes, where do you go? What do you do? We often don't use the word fear. We use words like anxious or anxiety. We use the term nervous, but all of it's just fear. And all of it is, just like Peter, an opportunity to say, Jesus, save me. It's an opportunity to bring it forward. This is what it means to live a life of faith. When the doubts arise, have the safe place to run to. You don't have to try to trick yourself into thinking you don't have the doubts. Say it out loud. I'm afraid. I'm anxious. I'm nervous. I don't know. I'm not in control. Save me. Help me. Be there for me. Because he's the one who puts his hand out and says, I got you. I'll take you. I'll lead you. Why do you doubt? What's in there? What is in there that would cause you to say, I don't trust you? Church, those are the places the Lord is so gracious and kind to pull to the surface through all of our lives. He's too kind. He's too good to let it sit for very long. You understand? The experience of fear is the kindness of God to pull to the surface the places of unbelief so you and I can be free. Can be free. Can have hope. Can have peace and have rest. Because it won't come in the settling of your circumstances, because as soon as you get the thing figured out, you got the next thing coming. Come on. That's what Jesus said. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own. That's what he said. It's like brilliant. This is the greatest philosopher of all time. Tomorrow's got so much. Don't even go there. Just be here with me today. So say it out loud, what you got. If you're worried about tomorrow, say it. Because I'm here today with a hand. What are the places of unbelief? What are the places of doubt? Don't try to muscle up and pretend like it's not there. Get it out there. Say it out loud. When I cannot see the way forward, when I experience anxiety because heavy things are pressing on me, say it. This is the life of faith. We were on vacation. I'm like 4 seconds into vacation, sitting on a porch, chatting with my wife, and we're just talking about life and all the things, and then stuff's starting to come up, and I'm talking about leadership and leading, and we're taking some time away from the church, and I'm now talking about fears and unbelief in my own heart, needing to say it out loud. Here's my confession. Sitting on a porch, looking at the water. It was bright outside, not dark. Here are places of unbelief in me. Here are the places of fear in me, in my leadership, leading this church, doing well in our family. I got places here, so I need to say it out loud. This is the life of faith that we do. We show up to it. We confess it. Things get to be brought forward just like Peter. And the question is God in your heart and mind shaming you for it, or is he inviting you? Is he grabbing you by the hand to say, oh, well, I know you don't have it, but I got it. I got it. It may not be fixed in the way or in the time that you want it, but I've got this. And I'm taking you all the way to the end. And when you get to the end, brother, sister, you can't believe. So this world is as, if you're a follower of Jesus, this world is as bad as it gets. The promises are incredible, far beyond anything you and I could think, ask, or imagine. If you don't have Jesus, this world is as good as it gets, and that's exhausting. And if you're here and you don't believe in Jesus, you are invited to share your doubt, bring it before him, and ask him to overcome and overwhelm you with his goodness and faithfulness, to make that exchange. My fears, my control, my own running, my own way, my sin for your glory, your promise, your future, your goodness. Incredible. Incredible. That's the invitation. Mark chapter 9, we'll finish with this. You guys can come up. We're going to just have an opportunity to confess fear and then receive the Lord's Supper and his incredible promise. So we're just going to literally do what we're talking about. In Mark 9, there's a dad whose son is beset with a demon, convulsing. This demon is trying to destroy this child, throwing him into fire, throwing him into water, trying to literally destroy his life. And the dad hears there's crowds everywhere, and he runs up to Jesus. And he says, would you please heal my, would you have compassion on me? And Jesus asks, what do you want me to do for you? He says, if you are able, would you heal my son? Now, let me tell you, there's lots of fears in this world, fears over the lives of your kids. If you have children, or even loving pets or whatever, you just have someone you care for, friends you care for. No, there's no greater fear. And that's where that dad's at. Like, can you do something? And Jesus just says, if not the question, but if you'll believe me, then I will touch your life. And he says, I believe, help my unbelief. This is the prayer. I believe, but help my unbelief. It's the most powerful prayer. God changes the circumstance there in that moment. Delivers that child. So that's the question. Can we do this with God? I believe, help my unbelief. You guys stand with me. Our team's gonna worship over us. I'm about to invite you to receive the Lord's Supper, which is the anchor of these promises, this body that was broken, this blood that was shed. But before we receive this incredible promise, the broken body so that we might be whole, the blood that was shed so that we could be brought into this family, the anchor of these promises, we get to confess and say, here's my fear, here's my doubt, here's my unbelief. So would you do that in this moment? Father, we approach the throne of grace with boldness now through the sacrifice of the risen Savior, your one and only Son, Jesus, who we worship and treasure, and your very Spirit that is here now. And our offering, our act of worship is to give to you our unbelief. So would you do that right now? Would you name the place of fear? Would you name the place of doubt that has beset you, come against you? Might be the voice of the enemy that has tried to ruin you, to shame you if you're sitting under shame and don't even feel like you can share. If you've got things in the future, if you're afraid of facing something in the past, whatever it is, I'm giving you the moment. Offer it to God as a living sacrifice. Tell him. What a gift. I'm not in control. What a gift. Hand it over. Now receive the hand of the one who will reach and pull you up and says, I've got you. Receive it. Mercy, goodness, faithfulness, forgiveness, kindness. We make the exchange, God, our fear for your glory, so that we can walk in the fullness that you created for us. Through your body broken and your blood shed, we receive and we worship you and treasure you in the name of Jesus. In a moment, I'm gonna invite you to come down the middle to receive the elements, the bread and the cup. As soon as you receive them, you're free to take them. You can take them back to your seat if you'd like and receive it there. You can pray together as a family or however you'd like to receive. Our team's gonna worship over us as you're receiving, and then we'll finish this morning with the opportunity to magnify the Lord in our benediction and prayer this morning. Father, we receive now your glorious goodness in sending your one and only Son. Thank you, Jesus, your perfect sacrifice we receive today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may come down the center.